Well, you might have this fast blast in from Kathy in Colorado, and it says, I've got a friend who knows a United Airlines pilot that was stopped at gunpoint, she says, by a Marine when he went down four floors below at the Denver International Airport before it opened, and was told that if he was seen down there again, he may be forced to shoot. Isn't that something?
That's incredible.
What is down there? I have to go on a little mission. You go first, though. Ready for some more calls?
Absolutely.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast with William Henry. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, George? Hey, William.
Hi.
Hey, you spoke of a few elements tonight, and I'm going to tie them together for you. You're looking for the Ark of the Covenant, right?
Absolutely.
A pillar that could do time travel.
Mm-hmm.
A sapphire stone that had power. And a little nervous, but I'm trying to get through it here.
There
was another
job.
One there. Oh, how to maybe the possibility to make a Christ-like being, right?
Or the Stargate. Maybe the Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I'm kind of like you, William. I'm kind of like a detective, and a few pieces snap together. And, George, I'm just going to tell you a few things here. I'm not going to read the Bible or nothing, but there's use it as an artifact text. William, go back to Ezekiel 11, where he said that there was four faces on those beings that were there. The four faces were an ox, an eagle, a lion, and a human face.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ezekiel 27, they said about the sapphire stone. You go back and look it up when you get a chance, but there's a sapphire stone mentioned in Ezekiel 27. Okay?
Okay.
With these beings that were approached. Now, a year ago or so, I was watching Discovery Channel, and they were looking for the Ark of the Covenant. And it took them to Scotland into a church that nobody goes to that's whatever, but there's these pillars in this church.
Roslyn Chapel, would that be?
I'm not sure of the name.
Okay.
But here's the deal. Up the top of the pillars have these four faces, the ox, the eagle, the human, and the lion. And the pillars are shaped in this weird shape, and no one ever stood what it was. But when I saw it on TV, it almost put me on the floor. It looks like DNA strands.
Right. Yeah, I believe that you're describing the pillars at Roslyn Chapel in Scotland, which is a phenomenal place. It's a literal Holy Grail repository, a book in stone. And I think if you look up Roslyn Chapel, you're going to find that that's what you're describing.
It could be, but if that's some kind of perfect formula for perfect DNA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Roslyn Chapel, I went there several years ago to take a look at it, and the reason I went there is because in the very center of that chapel is a arrow that's pointing down at the center of the floor there, and a legend that's attached to it says that if you understand the secrets here, you know enough. And researchers have said that the lost scrolls of the Nazarene are believed to be hidden underneath the floor there, and they want to tear up the floor and retrieve the scrolls. Well, what's at the end of that arrow is a cluster of grapes, which symbolizes the blue stones. And it's my view that if you know enough about the blue stones, you know enough.
Well, that's perfect then.
Great. Thanks for your call, Dave.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate you being part of the program. These blue stones, if they are sapphires, and they could be, right?
Possibly.
I mean, could you, like, are you talking about a sapphire that you would purchase at a jewelry store that would have the same kind of power?
I don't think that would be exactly what we're talking about. I mean, it's part of the equation because, as I mentioned earlier, what the sapphire is supposed to provide for us is the holy blood, which is the Holy Grail.
Okay. So there's more symbolism there than just a traditional gemstone.
Precisely. It's a symbol. It's a trigger that's to lead you someplace else.
All right. East of the Rockies, your turn. Welcome to the program. Hi.
Hi, this is Janine.
Hi, Janine. Go ahead.
Hi. By the way, you are very good looking, George.
Oh, thanks, Janine.
You're welcome. First, I want to talk. Hi, William.
Hi.
I've read a lot of your books.
Thank you. I called you
one or two times about, you know, some of your products. Great, fantastic, wonderful. I did have a meditation years ago on my origin, and it showed me I was a blue spark. And the blue spark, that every human being has a blue spark in their body, which, you know, when the big blast occurred, the sparks came off the big blast, and each of us humans have the blue spark, and it's in your heart. And if you meditate and you put a Star of David over your body and you meditate on the blue star, it will go up through your crown and take you out into the universe, and you can travel to different planets. And I've done that. And since we're coming into the concordance, you know, to the harmonic concordance, that would be something that people could do, is, you know, meditate on that blue spark, that blue pearl in their body. Plus, I wanted to talk to you about the UT, a sound. It's called a UT sound. Have you ever heard of that?
No, UT sound?
Dr. David Pulse is doing workshops now with tuning forks, and he came up with it's based on 3, 6, and 9. You know, and Tesla said if you can discover the secrets of 3, 6, and 9, you'll discover the secrets of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And this scale is a Salvagio scale. It used to be, the Catholic Church took it away because they wanted to control masses. And it was do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, and they took do, re, and put, ute was there originally in the place of do. And T was gone, so it was a 6 scale, so that goes with the Star of David also, the tones. And these are all tones that are scaled 2, 3, 6, and 9. And they're just amazing. That's vibrational tones, and I just took the workshop, and it's like instant feeling of the vibration that, you know, of healing. So you might want to check on that ute.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
396 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I had a dream last night of the Dalai Lama, and he had a blue stone on his finger. You know, so there's something with that blue stone.
There is.
Gene, it'd be great if you could send an email on that meditation. I'll put it right up on my site along with Dana's graphic of the star tetrahedron. Because
I had a computer fire, took my computer, so I used to email you, but I can't email you anymore.
Ate it up until you get another computer, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Janine.
Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Tones seem to resonate throughout history as well.
Mm-hmm.
A guest last night again, Hank Wesselman, had a CD, and it had to do with getting you into a spiritual state for projection and time travel through your mind. Had to do with special tones that you hear with drums and rattles.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to all click.
Absolutely, yeah. There's without a doubt, a duplicatable technology that's been passed along throughout history that's inherently very simple. And once we get the right combination of tones, clicks, rattles, we're off and running.
I'm going to ask you something that's a little off the path here. Every night for the last month and a half, I've been getting a fast blast from the same guy, William, who wants me to ask every guest if we've been to the moon. I'm going to ask you and be done with him. Have we been to the moon, William?
I don't know.
Okay, that's all I need. I just need that from you as an answer to satisfy this 80-day barrage I've been getting from one person. Mm-hmm. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, this is Scott calling out of Peoria, Illinois. Let's be on 1470.
Yes, sir.
How's it going tonight, George?
We're doing well. Thanks for the ask.
I just wanted to call and ask your guests about, I'm a firm believer in the old Hopi prophecy of the purification. And recently, another frequent guest that's been on your show a lot, Sean David Morton, has posted on his internet site that the harmonic concordances also marks the beginning of the purification. And I was wondering what your guests might think about that.
That's a possibility. That's what I was talking or getting to when we were talking about the solar flares. My brother-in-law, Donnie Hinkle, calls them holy grail, holy flares, because that's what we might be describing here. And the purification is not necessarily a wiping out of humankind. Rather, it is an enlightening of humankind through cosmic rays emanating likely from the center of our Milky Way galaxy.
You believe this could be 11/11?
I don't, it could be the start of it. I don't think that this weekend portends this great enlightenment that so many prophets have described, but I certainly think it could be an opening of the doorway towards that.
And do you believe that it also stands as like man's last hope to change his ways before the end times?
I'm not one of those that really subscribes to the gloom and doom aspect of it. I think that there's always a way to change it, that we can begin to divert our consciousness into a way such that something along those lines doesn't have to happen in that way, and I don't think it's too late.
Okay.
Not at all.
The reason I ask is there's one thing that's really drawn me to it is a local band named Ayerwoon that's really believers in the purification, and they too have predicted 11/11 to be the start of it, and like here recently, it's just all worked out right to the right date. And it's just I don't believe in coincidence either, George.
No, they're on. How about you, William? Do you believe in coincidence?
No, I mean that's the whole premise here is that there is an unseen hand that's operating and guiding in our lives, and the object is to make a connection with that so that we live in a constant state of synchronicity or coincidence in the right place, right time, right people, right action, right words.
Hmm.
If we can live in that way, we're going to be just fine.
The moment.
Right.
First time caller line. Hello, you're on with William Henry. Hi there.
Hi, hello.
Oh, hello.
How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I'll get right to my question and take the answer off the air. You were talking about the Ark of the Covenant earlier, and I heard you guys were talking about Scotland, but actually, I've done a little research in the past because it's always been something that kind of interested me, but as far as the theory that it's kept in Axum, Ethiopia, and I'm trying to remember the name of the cathedral. I thought it was like St. Mary's Cathedral in Axum, but I didn't know if your guest could elaborate on that at all, if you'd heard anything about that. But supposedly, I guess, there's like a person who guards it, and then when the person actually passes away, they have the priest at the church actually watch the Ark of the Covenant for a short time until they get another guard, and then that's what the person does for the duration of their life.
Right. You're describing the research of Graham Hancock in his book, The Sign and the Seal. He followed that search, and he was led to that sanctuary in Ethiopia where it's claimed that the Ark rests today. There's probably more than one copy of the Ark of the Covenant, and it's possible that there is something that is there. I haven't been there personally, don't have first-hand knowledge of that, but it's quite possible.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Appreciate your phone call. Clock's going to tick on us, William. Let's get as many calls as we can. A lot of people have been on hold for you, I'm sure,
Great. For
a very long time. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yeah.
This is Donald calling from Corvallis, Oregon.
Hi,
and,
Donald.
Just want to say hello and ask William to elaborate a little bit more on the mythology around Mount Ida, Arkansas.
Are you familiar with that? Now, tell us a little bit about that first, if you would.
Well, the story is that when the original gods came down, they were called the Saba gods. And this name Saba is, for example, the root of the Queen of Sheba and appears in numerous instances, including Egyptian mythology. And the story is that they deposited all of the sacred knowledge into quartz crystal at a place called Mount Ida, Ida being the root for our word idea. And people have looked around and said Ida is in Crete, it's in Turkey, it's in all of these other places. But the fact of the matter is that there's only one Mount Ida on the planet that has pure quartz crystal, and that's Mount Ida, Arkansas. And it's been my supposition that perhaps the Ida of myth was actually here in America. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Ida was called the Glass Mountain, glass being a reference to the crystal. And it's fascinating that the Great Pyramid in Egypt, as wondrous as it is a copy, a derivative of the original Glass Mountain. It's a duplicate of something else. And it could well be that this sacred repository of knowledge that we're looking for is not underneath the sands in Egypt. It's rather here in Arkansas.
Okay.
Now, that is a fascinating speculation, that actually something is over on this side, huh?
Exactly, and then it was all exported to present-day Egypt.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast for a quick question. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Ted from California,
mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to make a relation between Art's show on Sunday night and what you're talking about tonight, in which John Lear mentioned that the aliens or the people watching us from beyond consider us just empty, you know, vessels, containers, and that they basically want our cerebrum, our cortex, our thinking process, in which we are the only people capable of transcending physical reality, and such as astral projection or going beyond, like that woman spoke earlier about going to different planets and stuff, in which we can do that by just meditating and going. And we can take our spirit separate from our physical body and go anywhere we want. Time is irrelevant. There is no time. Go back and forth and look at it all, and it's all actually quite irrelevant, all of this.
I think we can absolutely travel that way. I'll let you get your response off the radio, if you would, William, very quickly.
Yeah, going back, I think what they're describing there in terms of what is inside our container or this manufacturing plant or resurrection machine that is the human body is that blue spark, the divine spark, the blue pearl, the blue stone, the blue apple, as it's called. And it's the ignition or the alighting of that blue spark within us that enables us to have these phenomenal abilities.
The book is called Oracle of the Illuminati. William Henry, his website, williamhenry.net. If you're already on coasttocoastam.com, you can very easily link up to that, and it'll be up there sometime throughout tomorrow as well. Always a gracious guest, William Henry. William, next time, thanks again.
Thank you, George, and many blessings to everybody this weekend.
Absolutely. Don't forget his conference. Get the information on his website. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, webmaster Lex Lonehood, Barbara Simpson, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next program with guest controversial David Icke. Until then, be safe, everyone.